Hi, Donna Marie, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Cheryl.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's wonderful to be here.
We thought it appropriate to precede your contribution today with a beautiful prayer to the Ave Maria, since we're kind of focusing in on moms.
Yes. Lovely, lovely. It's so beautiful to hear.
So before we get into some of what you do and some of your words of wisdom from the books and a few other topics that we sort of talked about the other day, let us know, how did you fare with the hurricane? Now, you live up in Connecticut?
Yes, I do. And it was crazy. We had a little bit of an earthquake prior to that. From
okay.
The one in Virginia, we experienced the tremors here, and then big Hurricane Irene came up the coast, and you know, we battened down the hatches and just prayed and, you know, prepared, and a lot of torrential rain and fierce winds, but thankfully, you know, just some limbs down in our yard, but lots of trees and power lines and things down all around, and a lot of people without power, and it was crazy. People, I think, started to pray a little more, maybe.
Right. You know, it really does shake us up and makes us stop. We can get...
So to speak, shakes
yeah.
us up.
My earthquake statement, yeah.
Very good.
No pun intended.
But we do get... We get so caught up in our lives, and we just so think that we are infallible and in total control. And when we lose control and
yes.
we go for those light switches or whatever we so take for granted, and we really kind of tips our cart, doesn't it?
It sure does, and I think our dear Lord allows us to experience these kinds of things so that we will look to Him more, and
mm-hmm.
we will realize that, you know, He's in control of everything and not us.
Right. Right. But in a way, when we had those couple of evenings there at home, I have to say it was nice that we were sitting there just by candlelight, and our teenage son was there. And how often have we just sat in the living room just to kind of talk about things?
Wonderful.
Right, because we didn't have our computers, and we didn't have the TV, and he didn't have his Game Boy and
mm-hmm.
or whatever other things, you know, all these electronics. And in a way, it was... I was sort of praying,
and
yeah, it was a blessing. I was praying in thanksgiving for this time where we really couldn't do anything else.
It's like that time I was on complete bed rest for a pregnancy, and you would think that would be terrible, and it was very difficult, but, you know, that was the time when I was praying for that baby, and I was writing things for mothers that, you know, you'll be hearing about, that your listeners will be hearing about on the program. So anything that happens, you know, can be turned around for the good. And I love when families can come together during those times when you don't have electricity and you can sit down and play a board game or start
right.
talking, have some more, you know, have some wonderful communication.
Exactly right. And maybe moms there had a little extra time with the children because now they're going to be heading off to school. So
right.
it was nice to, you know, maybe have no electricity and just sit around and talk about going back to school, whether it's the younger grades or college age.
Right. It's conversation and communication are so important. That's really one of the tips that I put together, a list of 8 tips I think might be good for those heading out. And you know, when we're nearing the end of August and early September, I find that a lot of parents start to stress out a bit. You know, they know that they're going to have to change gears and even brace themselves for that new school year.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it be in their own home, as in the case of the homeschooling parent, or, you know, back to the school building, whether
mm-hmm.
it's the public or Catholic schools, you know, we know there's change involved. And, you know, some young adults have headed back to college, or they'll embark upon a new chapter of their life for the first time, while the other little ones are just stepping across those thresholds of the kindergarten classroom and ready to begin their education. But all of it means, you know, maybe like a screeching halt to our summer lazy days or even our busy days of summer, and we have to start getting to bed earlier, maybe we're getting up earlier, and we're adjusting somehow to a new school year. And so I think it has a lot to do with change and transition, which can be challenging for parent and child alike, right?
Right. I think that's just human nature
mm-hmm.
to, you know, the kind of the hair on the back of your neck goes up a little bit when you have to make these adjustments and there's a change forthcoming. And we just are such victims of habit, and we get into a routine, and you get comfortable. There's a comfort zone, and all of a sudden, like you said, more so it's the busyness. I can remember, well, now they're mine, our three are off to college, but when they were in grade school and they went to the Catholic school in our neighborhood, those first couple of weeks you would be inundated with, whether it was sign-up forms or just paperwork, covering books.
Jim, I became the master of contact paper.
Yeah.
I could do a textbook in seconds.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I know. I can. I used to do all the book covers myself. You did it with contact paper, huh? I used brown paper bags.
There you go.
Well, it took me a while, but you know, the first couple of years it was contact paper on the ceiling, on the walls, and all over the place. But by third or fourth grade, I was the champion. People were coming to my house to have me cover their books.
They were lining up for miles.
I love it. I love it. Wonderful. But yeah, it's a time of change, and you know, the young adults. You know how the young ones going off to college. I mean, we call them the young ones, but they're, you know, young adults, and I know that they need to spread their wings and experience life at college, for instance, but on their own or in the workplace, or you know, after they graduate high school. But for me, my mother's heart finds it bittersweet because. You know, so these are the things that the moms out there and the dads out there might be thinking about as their children are going off either to kindergarten or to college or somewhere in between. You know, it's not, you don't have to feel silly or embarrassed that you have these feelings of bittersweet. You know, we want our children to be able to experience all the wonderful things that they will and the education they'll get, but we also have to be careful and keep an eye on the culture and eye on things. But we also have to let them go a bit. And I'll never forget bringing my fourth child, Joseph, to school. I had to wear my sunglasses all the way home to hide the tears that were welling up in my eyes. I really couldn't believe that that son of mine was old enough to be on his own and to live in a college dorm.
Yeah.
So, you know, moms and dads, perhaps mostly the moms, they might feel, I mean, you might be shedding a few tears, but don't worry. Hang on to the hope and the courage that comes through prayer as you usher your children through these changes, you know?
Well, you know, we spend our lives trying to prepare them for the outside world. We're teaching them, we're educating them, we're giving them the faith, we're building this foundation so they can go off to school and sustain themselves and be independent in the classroom or be independent in their life and take care of themselves responsibly at college. I mean, well, that's what we're doing. But at the same token, like you say, it's bittersweet. You drop them off and you wish that they were coming back home with you. How would one remain positive? Now, I'm asking this personally. I'm setting this question up.
Because Monday we're bringing Anthony to college, and our nest will be empty.
What am I going to do?
Oh, no. So one's going off to college?
Yes. And I want to be positive. I want to say, look, you know, have a wonderful time and just make it all that you can make it be. But I don't want to sit there and let him see me.
Bring your sunglasses.
Okay. All right, there it is.
I'm sort of joking, but just halfway. But yes, you know, you're going to want to be positive, and you could cry after you get in the car.
Okay.
But we do. We want to send them forth, and we want to give them all those positive things. But don't be afraid to even let them know, I don't know what I'm going to do without you.
Yeah, that's
but I'm so happy for you. I'm just so excited. You know, this is what you've been waiting for. So, I mean, I am going to miss you, but so make sure you stay in touch. You know, but don't be afraid to tell everyone out there, all your children, how you feel, that you will miss them, and you will, but you're so proud of them, and you're so happy that, you know, they're going to get this education and this opportunity. So it's hard because we just can't even believe they're old enough.
Yes.
And at the same time, like I said before, we want to be careful in the colleges that we choose. And not everyone is cut out for college necessarily, and college doesn't mean every child has to go to college either. Some choose some other kind of field or the workforce or a vocation too, so which is a bit of college and seminary and that kind of thing. But so, you know, we want to be sure where they're going too, because a lot of times we hear from parents that say once they go off to college they're, you know, faced with a lot of things and that are contrary to our faith, teachings that are contrary to what they've been brought up with. And that's when we really hope and pray that what we've taught them all along is going to stay with them.
Right, right. Now, how many children do you have? I guess I was on your Facebook or blog or website or somewhere. I saw a beautiful picture. Were those your children?
It depends where you were looking.
Yeah,
but
that's
yes,
right.
I do have them on the blog. I have 5 on earth and 3 in heaven.
Oh,
and my
okay.
fifth is in, my baby is already in college. So,
okay.
You know, but she'll be going to study abroad pretty soon. So that's another adventure as well.
That's right.
Allow them that opportunity to do that, you know, and they, if they work hard for it, and that could be something that they would have, you know, that wonderful experience as well.
Sure. I mean, we never would want to deny them that, but I know that presents its own sets of challenges, and it brings to mind specifically a woman that she's one of our newer listeners over there towards the New Jersey shore on our newer station, and her daughter is in... a foreign country, like super far away. I can't remember now if it was Guam or Vietnam or some very obscure, far away place. And the daughter was experiencing some great health difficulties and doctors and hospitalization and all this health. And here we are in the United States and can't get over there and you want to be there and you want to help. I mean, that too. I mean, prayer takes on a whole new level.
Yes, it certainly does. We live on prayer.
It's so true.
You know, that's our oxygen. We need to pray, and hopefully we'll all have taught our children from the beginning how important prayer is, and that it becomes just a natural conversation with God, and they'll have that wonderful foundation to carry them through wherever they are. So when they're beset with those challenges, whether it be an illness away from home in a different country, or at college in a difficult situation going on with peers there. I mean, I could tell you stories, another show when we have a little more time.
Uh-huh.
Wonderful story, actually, but things go on, and you hope and pray that what you've taught your children will really stay with them. And I was very proud of something that happened with one of my children, I'll tell you at some point,
mm-hmm.
Where she was able to help someone at a college dorm who was in a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all kinds of things are out there in the world. We
yeah.
can't shelter our children, but we do have to be careful with them and protect them and prayerfully surround them with protection as well, right?
Right. Well, at least we live in the day and a time where we can have an easier form of communication with the cell phones
yeah.
and the emailing
Wonderful.
And the texting. I mean, even when I was in school, we didn't have all that at our fingertips.
We didn't have any of that, really,
right.
and now, you know, I can text my children and get an instant response. And so
right.
I know, okay, they can't email or call. They're in the middle of something, and maybe they shouldn't even be texting at this moment. But I don't think it's good for younger children to be texting. I just
right.
think when they're old enough to be, you know, working or in college or, you know, old enough to have that responsibility of being able to communicate with others and be on the Internet or whatever. But I definitely, another... show we can talk about technology and the dangers of it and the wonderful benefits of it as well. But, you know, to be careful with the kids with that technology, the younger ones. But the
right.
older ones, it's wonderful if they're in college and they can be in touch with you. And then that way your mind is at ease and your heart is at ease knowing that they're fine.
Kind of like an advanced baby monitor.
Yeah.
That's right.
We did this the other night because Angela, our middle child, is going to college in Philadelphia, and she has an apartment now. She's off campus but living in an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And we had dropped her off, and that night we texted her, and she didn't respond. And we got real worried, like, oh,
yeah.
she, you know. So we had to call her right away to make sure, she was, you know. But you're right. I mean, this in the days that we were going to college, because I lived at home, I commuted, but Cheryl would tell the stories about, you know, you actually write a longhand letter.
Yes.
To your parents.
I know. And you know what's neat is when, you know, you can't get them by phone or you say, you know, you might even text about something, but send an interesting text and you'll get an answer right
there. Right,
right.
Or like, how much money was that you wanted me to put in the bank?
Right,
no,
yeah.
I'm kidding.
How much do you need?
Immediate response.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just halfway joking here.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
right,
you know,
right.
just, you know, something that's interesting and then they'll, or anything, you know, just a little text and you'll get an answer back. But a lot of times they don't get to the email or they can't make a phone call at that time. So that's where I think texting is a great tool. You know, it's like the extended umbilical cord or like you said, the baby monitor.
Right.
You know, I had a couple of tips I don't know if you have time to hear.
Yeah, that's what I was. That's where I was going to go, because here we are. We're leaving our summer mode a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more free, and now we want to try to stay focused. We want to coach the children, ourselves. We want to stay focused, prayerful. We want to be unfrazzled, even the homeschooling moms. All right, here we are. A lot of the kids are going off to school, but those moms now have to kick over into, they still have their children at home, but let's not get frazzled. Let's stay positive, and let's get on a routine. What are some simple tips or rules that we could perhaps, share with the listeners?
Sure. And these would apply to the homeschoolers or the ones out at public, private, or Catholic schools or colleges. And, you know, the whole idea is get through this transitional process for the parent and the child, you know, when we're switching gears and getting into things. But just 8 tips I have to pass along. And one would be prayer, which goes right at the top of the list, which we talked about already. But for parents to pray together for their children and the family to pray together as often as possible. And, you know, telephone prayer is great. I mean, even texting or email, believe it or not, you know, you could start off with Hail Mary full of grace and you just, and dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, your children will respond to it and know you're praying for them and they'll finish the prayer. So if you can't actually do it physically together, you can do it in other ways as well. And for the family to pray, just for the family to pray together, but the children to be encouraged by the parents to pray at home and in school as needed, you know, to let them know that even if they're in a school environment where supposedly, you know, you can't pray, no one can ever tell you you cannot pray, and you just have to tell your children you can quietly pray within your heart, you know, for any situation at any time, and no one will ever be able to stop you, no matter what. If you're in a prison camp and you're being tortured, who can stop you from praying from your heart? You
True.
Can pray at any time. So if you tell your children that, they'll always feel safe, that they know that if there's a bully or there's a test coming up, whatever it is, they can say a prayer. So prayer at the top of the list. Number 2, communication, I think, is paramount with the spouse and the children and the teachers. So just, you know, open those lines of communication. And because when you can talk about things, it really helps to clear the air. Helps to ease tension. That just helps all the way around. And 3, planning for lessons and for schedules, lunches, and more. A little bit of planning goes a long way. So try to get some things done the night before. And I suggest, I use this all the time, a big dry erase board in the kitchen on the kitchen wall, and each day update it with a schedule. If you it's a good way to remember things and to get the kids to get involved with the schedule, and you might even add a little prayer on the side or something. God help me. Any little prayer, even if it's just like, God help me.
Yeah.
Or my guardian angel, please help me. Sleep, 4, get enough sleep to better cope with the day ahead. It's so important. You know, sometimes we can't get the sleep because the kids are up or somebody's sick or the neighbor dog is barking and we're not getting the sleep we want. But try to get in a little earlier and you'll find that you can cope with things a lot better on a good night's sleep.
Mm-hmm.
5 would be organization. You know, it helps for smooth mornings. You can stress to the kids no technology before school, whether it be games, you know, video games, TV, and things like that, because if they're in the habit of, you know, the summer habit, you know, pulling out that Game Boy or whatever it is, and, you know, just try to have maybe no technology in the mornings before school, so that way you have the time to pray at the breakfast table or to communicate instead. Because talking things out eases worried little minds, and it eases the big minds too, right?
That's right.
Oh, yes.
6 is stick and stop me at any time. There are 8 of these. I'm on 6.
It's okay.
Stick to schedules, but be patient with yourself and your children when a wrench is thrown into the works. You know, if a child is sick or, say, the alarm clock doesn't go off because the power went off or any number of things. And try not to set yourself up for failure by thinking everything will go perfectly smoothly, because it won't. And sometimes, more often than not, so much grace is discovered in the difficulties when picking up the pieces or even trying to smile about it. So, you know, you try to stick to the schedule with your homeschooling, teaching, or the schedule of everything you need to do to get ready to have a smooth transition with getting the lunches made the night before or the money for hot lunch or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
getting up at a certain time and, you know, lay the clothes out the night before, whatever your schedule is. But when things don't work out, you know, don't fret about it. Just do your best, and that's all you can do.
Right, right.
And try not to get so worked up about it. You know, it's better just to say a prayer, you know, and just move on. And number seven, stay positive. Smile. A simple smile speaks volumes, and it makes the best of trying times. You know, and as a little example of this, when I was a little girl, I remember, I think it was the only time, unless there was one other, I think there were two times I got in trouble in school.
Only two? Come on.
I was just little goody-goody. I tried so hard to be good. And I just, you know, that was just my nature. And I was very young, and I got in trouble for speaking to a friend in the hallway.
Okay.
I didn't even know we weren't allowed to speak in the hallway. And this teacher was overly strict. But I felt horrible, and I was embarrassed because I got, you know, punished in front of everyone and yelled at. And so I just felt terrible. But when I went home, my mother's warm and understanding embrace just really melted all of that sadness, because I thought I had failed, but she showed me otherwise. So, you know, just to remember, a parent's love is powerful. And so, you know, try to be positive and smile. And because, you know, the kids get a lot of flack, and they get a lot of orders and rules and things in which we want them to learn to follow. But some are a little overbearing, too, at times. And if they don't have encouragement and that love to go with it, it's hard for them. So we want to give them that, and we want to try to stay on the positive side rather than the negative. Don't harp over the negative things like, you know, come on, when are you going to get your clothes ready for school tomorrow? You're never going to get up on time if you don't do this, and you're never going to do this, and you're never going to do that. So is that very positive? No.
Right, right.
So we don't want to, you know, be like that. We want to, you know, be positive and loving and encouraging.
Along those lines, they get a lot of the negative approach at school, only because I also am a teacher, and I am in the school system for a variety of different functions. And I a lot of times I'll see on the board, you know, don't do this, don't do that. And they are always coming from the negative approach.
Yeah.
So even if there's a correction to be made or a suggestion, if you can do some form of praise first and then suggest in a very positive spirit, because really the world is a negative place. And sadly, you know, in at least in the school buildings, a lot of times they put those rules on the board, and it's always don't do are the first two. It's like, oh, they have enough of it.
Why are they going to want to go to school if everything is don't?
Yeah, exactly.
And I remember, this is just an aside, but real quickly, the way I raised my little ones, and I know there are various ways of doing this, but I would never slap their hand if they went near an outlet or something like that, or went near something, because I believe that you were going to squelching their
curiosity
and want for exploration of exploring their environment and learning. You were just really saying, no, you're not supposed to learn about that. No, you can't do this. No, no, no.
Right.
Well, why don't you just childproof your home and have it be a happy place, and let your child be, and watch your child instead of letting them roam into dangerous places? But that's another subject.
Yeah.
But see, if we were positive and we just want to, you know, just like you said, instead of on the board, don't do this and don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We want to say, you know, if you do it this way, this is going to happen. These are the consequences. And if you do it this way, oh, you're going to be happy, and your teacher's going to be happy too.
Right.
So there's ways to do it. And finally, just for these little tips for today, number eight would be firm but loving, because kids can try to wiggle out of their responsibilities, as we know, at home and at school. But I think a parent's keen eye and loving encouragement will really keep them on task. So, you know, to do everything with love, not to be too, you know, to be firm, but in a loving way. And I even have a little prayer in my Catholic prayer book for mothers that I wrote that is talking about correcting mother's prayer to correct a child properly.
Yes.
So that might be something the moms want to. I don't know if we have time to.
Yes, let's close with that prayer if we can, Donna Marie. And I know we could be on the phone for hours. I mean,
yes.
And I have before me 7 or 8 8 of your books. And I know you were just on the EWTN bookmark with Doug Keck talking. I think it was specifically this, a Catholic woman's book of prayers.
Oh, yes,
am I right?
The one I was speaking of was a Catholic mother's prayer book, but we can go to a different prayer as
well. Okay. And then what, maybe before we pray, why don't you give your, whether it's the blog address or your website address, because now that, you know, people have heard you a little bit and we know we'll be looking forward to further conversations, maybe they want to explore and maybe a little read about your program on EWTN, or I know when I went to your blog, I was actually just to click and I was able to watch that half hour segment. So they want to say, wait, who is this lady who is talking today? So tell us where they can find you.
Oh, sure. And what I can do is I can put some things on my blog post. I'll post them later today. I'll put a few prayers that I wanted to talk about there.
Okay.
And I can, you know, pray that last one with you. But if they go to my website, www.DonnaCooperO'Boyle.com.
Okay.
www.Donna, D-O-N-N-A, Cooper, C-O-O-P-E-R, O'Boyle, O-B-O-Y-L-E.com. That's the main website, which is going to be revamped within a week or so. It'll look a little different. But from the main website, you can get to my blogs. And I like to update the view from the domestic church quite often. So that's where you'll find a lot of things. So you can just check that out. I'll put some prayers up there later about school and this whole transition time and those kinds of things. But just keep in mind, dear parent, that our catechism even tells us that the parents have the first responsibility for the education of their children.
Mm-hmm.
And you could find that in the catechism. And what's amazing is our church also tells us that the role of parents in education is of such importance that it is almost impossible to provide an adequate substitute. So wherever your child is learning, we're still, you know, you're still responsible to find out, you know, what type of teaching it is. So just keep that in mind as you go through the school year, and you want to find out what they're learning. And don't get crazy worried about joining endless committees trying to do so much, because you can help and you can volunteer, but love begins at home, as Mother Teresa always said. So just concentrate on your family and see what else you might be able to fit in, you know, as our Lord allows.
Right.
So I snuck that in there before. I want to make sure we all know that, you know, it's our responsibility to really watch over these little saints we're raising to heaven.
And that should be our first priority. And then, you know, as time will allow, then join those committees. But as we spoke on the phone or we were emailing, charity begins at home. So don't neglect your family. Even though you're doing good somewhere else, remember what God has placed before you to care.
You know, there's a great quote one time I remember reading, Donna Marie, from Father Frank Pavone.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
Yeah, wonderful. But he said once, he goes, you know, the devil can't tempt or finds it difficult to tempt good people to do bad things, but he can tempt them to do too much good.
That's a good thing to ponder, because especially with women, we want to do so much. God gives us big hearts, and I often speak to women about this, that you know, don't run off and try to do everything out there when you're neglecting your spouse and your children in the process. I love what Father Pavone says.
Yeah.
It's so important to remember.
Yep.
So I don't know if we have time to end with a prayer.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we end with your
prayer?
Sure.
Okay. So what do you want to hear? Help me to find balance, Lord.
That sounds great.
Okay. Help me to find balance, Lord, is in my new book, A Catholic Woman's Book of Prayers. You have given me the heart of a woman which wants to stretch beyond measure to ease the pain of others. Remind me, Lord, to fix my eyes on my family first and fulfill their needs according to your holy will, before I attempt to look elsewhere. Help me to know when to say yes and when to say no, so that I don't overcommit and can properly serve you, my family, and others, remembering that love begins at home. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's beautiful. Donna Marie, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Cheryl and Jim. It's just wonderful to be with you.
And we'll stay in touch. We'll remind the listeners of the website, and we'll talk to you next month.
Talk to you next month, and I'll put a blog post up with some prayers for back to school.
Okay, thank you so much, and think of us on Monday when we're dropping off the baby at college.
I will. Oh, God bless you. Bring your sunglasses.
I will. Heed that advice.
Okay. I will definitely be praying for you.
Thanks.
God bless you now.
God bless you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.